pressure to find more weather specialists is mounting.
Man, this is going to be a big job. We're going to need a bigger team.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup sound experiment. We're looking to find the perfect way to hear Reese's so you'll buy more of them. Here we go. Reese's. Reese's.
Reese's.
Reese's.
Reese's. Hey, get out of here, you little stinker.
Reese's.
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 Peanut Butter Cups.
That breathy one sounded very creepy, am I right?
Let's go!
This is Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
KIRO AM Seattle. KIRO FM HD2 Tacoma. Home of the Seahawks, Mariners, and everything Seattle sports. Seattle Sports Snapshot. Snapshot.
Mariners with a day off before they embark on a 9-game road trip starting tomorrow in Texas against the Rangers for 3, followed by 3 against the Angels, and then winding up the road trip with 3 in Oakland against the A's. George Kirby gets the start in Game 1 tomorrow, which you will hear right here, Seattle Sports Station on 710. Meanwhile, in the NFL, Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady will be away from the team for a period of time to, quote, deal with some personal things, Coach Todd Bowles said Thursday. Bowles said Brady's absence was discussed in advance and that he will return after next week's preseason game against the Tennessee Titans on August 20th.
Snapshot, brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Washington chill.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Is he here? Is he here? Is Michael Bennett here? Is he going to join us?
You know what? I'll say this about him. All I can say is this. I've never seen a person get so angry and not punch someone. That's what I'll say about Michael Bennett.
Is that a plus? Is that, what is
that? Yeah, I thought it showed
sort of admire him. There's
a lot of restraint. A lot of restraint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is an incident that we had here at the station. Well, it was actually down there. But
down there at the VMAC.
Michael Bennett, just one of the, he's one of the guys you think about when you think about that Super Bowl run and the next year. I mean, he's just
a huge part of it.
Him and Cliff. And remember, Cliff got a concussion in that Super Bowl 49.
I'm telling you right now, they win that Super Bowl if he doesn't get hurt.
He was getting after
Cliff,
it, man.
His absence. I blame his absence. Well, because the one thing people forget, not that we need to rehash the Super Bowl for the 18,000th time, but everybody talks about the final play. I get it. Defense coughed up a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter.
Well, you know what else killed them? Jeremy Lane. Jeremy
Lane
gets
that right away.
Interception in the end zone, runs it out, and then has one of the worst broken arms. I remember talking to
his leg at the same time, too, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just the arm and leg.
Who's the little receiver that he killed us that tackled him? Was it
Wes Welker or somebody? Julian Edelman?
Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that just killed us. And he didn't even realize that his knee was, because I was talking to the doctors afterwards, and they were like, yeah, that was a very serious break.
Remember seeing those still shots of those injuries? It's like a lot of those fighter shots I send you guys when somebody snaps a limb.
His arm is bending.
Things going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
It's not good. But yeah.
So those two things killed him.
Yeah. Not having those guys, you're right. Those are huge. And had they had the brilliance of Cliff Avril there, I maintain they would have won because the defense collapsed prior to that final play. Final play, you still had a shot, but people forget you coughed up a double digit lead you had going.
Well, and Edelman killed him in that game. And I remember him running a little whip route where, you run in and kind of spin back outside, and Thurl Simon just couldn't cover him. And Jeremy Lane was playing his tail off.
Thurl Simon couldn't cover? Come on. No,
Thurl Simon had a ton of talent. He was incredibly gifted. Enough so that, Richard Sherman was like, he could be the next me, but he's one of those guys that couldn't get out of his own way.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about indelible images and talking about Bennett and him on the bike. My lasting image of Thurl Simon is him looking at the refs doing this. Just
He pushed off every time. He pushed off. Yeah. He pushed off every single time there was a completion, it seemed like.
Well, and like I said, I mean, same thing with like Quentin Dunbar, you know, and I've said this. I'm telling you, that guy is fantastically talented.
What a saga that was.
I know. But, you know, it's just a, you know, this is why I always say like your personality, how important that is, that you're a solid character. And that's what we talk about with Kobe Bryant. I really love what we heard from Tariq Woolen, not just talking about corners, but, you know, that affects you on the field. And I think Thurald Simon, when he was drafted, I believe he gave us a long dissertation about an incident with a cop coming to his house, and it went on and on and on. And it didn't cause any problems or anything, but he was just one of those guys that his personality got in the way.
He was a fourth rounder, right?
Yeah, fifth, maybe.
Fifth?
Something like that. But, yeah, I mean, he did. He showed those kinds of things. Same thing with Quentin Dunbar. Just, I mean,
incredible. All about the drama and saw him. Remember that story of was he at the craps game? Did somebody pull? Did he pull a gun? No, it was the other guy, the dude from the Giants. What was that guy's name that he was with?
Remember? I know. I can't remember. He was a safety.
We talked about it every day forever.
Oh, I know.
And then all of a sudden it looked like the attorneys were the corrupt ones. And yeah, there's a payoff in the elevator. Yeah, it's on camera.
And then I remember Clayton calling it the craps game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the craps game. Or dice game. That's what he said.
Dice game. Yeah. That was all about that saga. That was nuts.
The whole thing was just ridiculous. So I want to say it was his name, Baker.
Yeah. Stephen Baker. Is that right? Yeah, no. We'll look it up, or a texter will remind
us. Yeah, and I remember asking Clayton, I go, in all of your years, John, that you have covered the NFL, have you ever seen a weirder story than this? And he was like, no.
The way that it shifted from, well, these guys aren't really the bad. All the witnesses that said so-and-so pulled a gun, now they're all saying, nope, I didn't see any of that. Remember that? There was everybody's recanting what they said, and oh, my God, that was, what a weird time that was. Weird story.
And Quentin Dunbar, that was another, like, I would say, don't take my word for it, Pete was like, this guy is a very unusual player in that he, you know, some of the things that he did against the run in the run game were just phenomenal. And, yeah, I don't know. He got hurt, and then, you know, I just think he was one of those guys that, again, couldn't get out of his own way.
Yeah. Text line is there for you, 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We got some clarity on the Jesse Winker ranking. Apparently, that was last season. It was MLB Network. This is according to the texters.
He did say 2021.
MLB Network. He was an all-star last year. I didn't watch him in the outfield, but that's a decidedly smaller park.
You didn't watch the Reds?
I didn't. I should have spent more time because half their team is on the Mariners now.
Yeah.
But, I guess that makes sense as an all-star, smaller park. I'm sure he had it dialed in, spending as much time out there, knew how the ball was going to bounce and all that stuff. But, yeah, he doesn't look like that now. I'm going to guess he doesn't crack the top 10 this year as far as left fielders in the game. Somebody's saying DeAndre Baker, and then somebody said Jordan Baker. It was DeAndre, wasn't it? DeAndre Baker? That sounds right.
Yeah.
A lot of text coming in there. And then somebody texts in, how does Bob have a girlfriend? That's not nice. 509. What are you kidding? I'm a cutie. Look at me.
Bob is a cutie. Yeah. Well, wait, I'm not going to say that. But he is.
That'll be a great drop for later.
You should know. You should know that Bob is of dating age. Okay.
I haven't retired quite yet, but so there's the clarity on Jesse Winker and that ranking. I didn't see. I don't think these are official stats or anything, but we'll talk to Luke Arkins about that. He will join us at 5, unlike Michael Bennett, who was scheduled to join us and to this point is MIA.
Well, he's flying in from Hawaii, so I guess he had some problem. By the way, DeAndre Baker is the guy. You already say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the texters said it. I just repeated their text.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, all I did was type in Baker, giant player who was with Quentin Dunbar.
Boy, that's a long
popped
search.
It up.
That's a long search.
It's just
search
a stream
right
of consciousness, you know. Just what do I type in here? Dice game.
Dice game. Yeah. the craziest story. You remember that thumb? That thing was back and forth, and it went from 1 week it was the players, and everybody at this party or barbecue or whatever said it was them. This guy pulled a gun. This guy said this. He robbed everybody. And then all these people recanted.
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. You're like, what is going on? And then there's supposedly footage of a payoff in an elevator
that
between the attorney. And
It was like a sandwich bag full of cash or something like that.
I felt like at the end of the day, everybody's going to prison.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything happened.
Including the attorneys.
Yeah, the attorney, I thought he's going to be disbarred. He's going to do jail time. Dunbar and Baker, they're all, no. I don't. It just kind of went away. I don't remember how the whole thing was even resolved, to be honest. Maybe somebody is in prison. We just didn't keep track of it. But, man, it's just a weird, weird situation.
Well, and it's just one of those situations where, you know, like I like to do this little exercise. If you could unscrew one guy's head and screw it on another guy's body, you know, if you could get Richard Sherman's head or, you know, who got hurt, who was a good corner that, because Quentin Dunbar was incredibly talented. It's like we talk about Lofa Tatupu.
Yeah.
You know, he had just one of the best, like he would be my number one choice to unscrew his head. Sorry, Lofa. I'm going to unscrew your head and put it on top of somebody else. But yeah, I mean, look, for Lofa, he got injured all the time. You know, that was the problem with him. But yeah, it's just weird to me, and kind of it's always disappointing and always kind of sad to me when you have guys like Quentin Dunbar who just can't ever get their old Simon
Dunbar played in that game in he had a bad knee, and it was a game where you looked at him and go, Buffalo. Why was this guy on the field? Because he got destroyed and he couldn't do anything.
Well, and there's another example of where you should have put a rookie in. Yeah. Anybody that I mean,
with
I remember.
Two knees.
Yeah, I remember watching, and like he was off so far, he was out of the frame. He got framed. He was like 20 yards deep. So yeah, that was quite a interesting little stint from him.
Hey, by the way, the 253. So, and again, you guys text in whenever you'd like, whatever you'd like. 421-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Stacy's shot at you guys was immediately validated by that Google search from Wyman. That's pretty funny.
All right, smart guy. What would you have put in there?
That was just a very long
dice
search.
Game?
They should hear you do voice to text.
you should read some of my voice to text how they
can't.
Come out.
Not well, allowed to.
Too many expletives.
Yeah. Well, I sent one to Bob and Mike one time for the listeners out there that was, I left it on, and then I started chewing out the guy next to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you idiot, what are you doing?
You bleep, bleep, bleep.
And then, while driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lefko and I are going, why is Dave so mad at us? What did we do here? We didn't do anything. And why is Stacy taking shots at us? And more importantly, this is uncalled for, unprovoked, unwarranted.
It's outrageous.
We'll stand for it.
Outrageous? Egregious?
Exactly, Jackie. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So I just want her to remember it started with her. And when she's asking herself, why you started it?
Yeah.
Show on show crime is about to take place.
You sound like a little kid. I used to, my brother and I. He started it.
Well, in this case, it's accurate, though. So, all right. Again, you guys can text in whenever you'd like. 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. The Mariners, meanwhile, with the day off, which is a huge bummer.
I hate when they take a day off.
I love leaving here and just seeing traffic is somewhat clear. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to get home, you know, take Frank out, get him fed, and just plop down in front of the TV just in time for first pitch. It just works out that way. You just plan your afternoon, your evening around it. And especially when you've got games that you're reflecting on, like those two against the Yanks, specifically the 13-inning game, and having them in the playoffs as we speak as the second wild card and just right behind the Blue Jays. They are 61-52. They've got a half game. They're a half game back of the Blue Jays for the number one spot in the wild card and just a game and a half up on the Royals and the Rays for that third spot. So you look at this and just go, you know, we talked about this to open the show for those that just tuned in. What makes it great that it's that close is that every game feels like it means the world. That in baseball, that's awesome. And it's rare. It's a cool place to be as a team, as a city. And it's a move that baseball made, Major League Baseball made, that I think is a very smart move because you get so many cities invested now. Look at all those teams clumped up around there within two games, two and a half, three games. I mean, even if you're five games out at this point, you're not out of it.
Yeah.
You're looking at it, whichever city you're in, you're going, hey, we still got a shot. We got a streak going. The Mariners or Blue Jays or the Rays or Orioles drop a game or two. They lose a series. We're right there. So it gives so many more cities hope. It keeps their attention on it. It keeps the focus on it and creates a level of excitement in cities where without that wild card, that extra wild card, they would be sitting there going, well, next year we should do this, and next year we should do that. Now they're invested.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the other teams, and I wonder if you're in Baltimore or Minnesota or, you know, you're in Toronto, are you thinking that this Mariner team, the way they're doing it, that it's not sustainable? That, you know, are they, I mean, I just wonder who you're, which teams you look at and go, yeah, this is, because the Guardians now have taken, you know, the Twins were had a pretty good lead in the Central.
Mm-hmm. They lost 3 in a row, 6 of 10.
Yeah, and so Guardians are, yeah, you're right. They're 4-6 their last 10, lost 3 in a row.
I'm talking about the Twins.
Oh.
I was looking at the Twins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, and you look at the Guardians, they've won 5.
Yeah.
One of the hotter teams. So, but I wonder if you're, you know, because I'm looking at Baltimore, you know, and even Tampa. The one that kind of scares me is just because they have a plus 60 differential, run differential, is the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And their offense. But if you look at Baltimore, you know, they're plus 8. The Red Sox are long gone. But,
but they're only 5 games out. I mean, they're technically, yeah, they're 54-58, talking about Boston. But with 50-plus games to go or 50 games left to go, you're 5 games back. That's a weekend of you winning and a couple teams in front of you losing.
Yeah, it just seems like they're heading the wrong direction, as far as injuries and everything.
But just in terms of hope, like mathematically, we're looking at it going, all right, you know, the Rangers. Rangers are 9.5 out. Yeah. You're going, okay, you're done. But even Boston, you can look at them and go, this team's been underachieving. If they just start playing to their potential and some of these teams in front of them, which they are just a couple of games in front of them, they lose a couple, they win a couple, boom, all of a sudden they're talking about being a game back, 2 games back. That's what I love about the additional wild card, is it keeps everybody involved and it creates that level of excitement. And we'll see, because you got Blue Jays, Mariners, and then Tampa Bay and Baltimore are tied for that third spot. Then you got the Twins within 1 game. You got the White Sox, who are a minus 20 run differential, sitting right there 3 games back. And then Boston would be 5 games back as we sit. So that's, you know, the division lead could change, especially in the Central with the Twins and the Guardians. You could see that go back and forth, especially the, you know, when the Mariners match up against the Guardians, the Twins will be rooting hard for the Mariners, I would assume, so they could win the division rather than go in as a wild card. There's a lot at stake with not a lot of time left in the season.
Well, and I'm looking at their strength of schedule. They're still number 30 as far as that goes. And, you know, they have, what, 15 games against winning teams left. 3 against Atlanta, 2 San Diego, the Guardians, 7. I'm more worried about the 9 games left with Oakland, the 7 games with the Angels, 6 games with Texas, and Kansas City is also in there, same as Detroit. But remember last year, they lost 3 of 4 at home to Kansas City. You got to take care of those one games that you should win.
Yeah, I just can't. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, Mariner baseball. I can't wait. 9-game road trip starts tomorrow. Meanwhile, we were talking about the Seahawks earlier, talking about the quarterbacks, talking about the cornerbacks. One area we haven't spent a ton of time talking about are the running backs. We've talked about Rashad Penny, and he re-signed. Is he going to be the guy that we saw in 4 of the final 5 games, or is he going to be something in between that and what he's been in the past? Pete Carroll just talked about the running backs as a group and really liking how they look right now.
You know, the running backs in general look more confident. I really think that Rashad's influence in the end of the season really made a difference in our guys, and I think that we've really taken to how we run the football. The confidence in reading things the way we want to read them has really gone across the board, and Homer's done a really nice job too. So I think the top 4 guys running right now have really made a lot of progress, and they're giving us real consistency in the line of scrimmage, and there's benefits to that. The backside blocking and all that we count on has really shown up, and we've shown pretty good consistency regardless of who's running it. DJ's had a really good camp.
Yeah, that's the fourth guy there, DJ, Travis Homer, and then you got Kenneth Walker and Rashad Penny. I was just looking at his numbers, Ken Walker.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 6.2 yards per carry his senior year at Michigan State.
Wouldn't you just hand it to him every time?
Yeah.
2 carries first down.
Absolutely. I mean, and then, you know, and just the way I saw him the other day setting up a tackler where he was running, I think it was DK, was blocking downfield, and he was just kind of weaving in and out and just reading the blocks perfectly. You know, the other day in the mock game, he beat the entire defense to the edge. So I think he's going to push Rashad Penny. I like hearing what Pete said about Rashad, but I'm still like, he's still on trial. You know, he still has to be able to be there. And I'm not saying every single game, because you don't expect that from a running back. You just don't. You can't have, I mean, there's going to be some games where DJ Dallas, you know, I remember in 2020 when he started playing a little bit with Miami and got him maybe 10, 12 carries. I mean, you're going to have him and Travis Homer sort of fill in there, because running backs get hurt. They just do. They get nicked up. So, but I just hope that he is able, Rashad Penny, that is able to get past all of these little ticky-tack injuries and just, you know, kind of, like I always say, be a football player, not an athlete.
Yeah, and man, it feels like anytime we hear anything about injury with Penny, whether it's major or minor, you're just like, okay, here we go. And I'm looking at a tweet from Condota about an hour ago, Bob Condota. Pete Carroll with a glowing answer today about the progress of rookie running back Ken Walker III, who is likely to start Thursday with Rashad Penny dealing with a little bit of groin tightness. Mm. I'm like, okay.
I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah, and then another one from Greg Bell. Don't expect to see Rashad Penny playing on Saturday for the Seahawks. And then he's got groin in parentheses there. Do expect a ton of rookie Ken Walker. Carroll raving about Walker's pass protection in camp. He wasn't good. Did a little of that at Michigan State. You pass pro for Carroll. You play as a rookie running back is what he's talking about there. But, yeah, so apparently Rashad dealing with a bit of a groin issue there.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm not going to get too excited about it, because, you know, as far as his they're going to keep the lights on in here. We're going to be okay.
Lights are flickering for some reason.
Yeah, these guys, the engineers, by the way, I admire that. So there are cords and plugs. Just it looks like a big bowl of spaghetti out there. Yeah. And putting all that stuff back together, it's phenomenal.
It was giving me PTSD from putting a dresser together years ago from IKEA that I haven't been the same since.
Kia project there. Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. He talked about the, you know, and I just was talking about that with college running backs. They're not going to be good in pass pro because they were handed the ball or thrown the ball. When you have a running back like that, he doesn't get a lot of work blocking. So he'll find his way into it. But, yeah, I haven't talked to running backs over the years. That's always their biggest challenge, because if you make it to the NFL, that means you are productive.
I'm excited to see him. I mean, you have to err on the side of caution with Rashad Penny because of his history. Not saying he's going to be injured again this year, but if he comes up with a tweak, or I'm sore here, I got my knees a little sore, my ankle, my hamstring, whatever's going on, I guess you'd be irresponsible if you're Pete going, well, toughen up, kid. Rub some dirt on it and get out there. I mean, you're not going to do that when you've got that track record. So I don't blame him. I like that this is – we talked about opportunities for Sam Haggerty. He got opportunity because of injury, and he is absolutely capitalizing on it. Yeah. Not Ken Walker's on the team. He's not trying to make the team. He's on the team. But this is a great, great opportunity to show the coaching staff, here's what you've got in me, and here's what I can do. And maybe they had an idea going into the season, like, all right, it'll be a 65-35 split. And maybe after seeing a bunch of him, maybe they're like, you know what? This kid's making a case for it to be more of a 50-50 split or something. It's just a great chance for him to truly shine. Yeah. And hopefully he takes advantage of it. I'm excited to see him out there.
Yeah, Ken Walker, kind of an interesting story, too, getting back to him, is that he was at Wake Forest and transferred to Michigan State. And from what I understand, because his freshman year, he had 98 carries for 580 yards, so a 5.9-yard average and four touchdowns. And then the next year, he only played in seven games and didn't get the ball a lot because apparently there was some young kid that they were feeding the ball to, and he saw the writing on the wall and said, all right, I'm going to transfer. Goes to Michigan State. I think it was his very first carry with Michigan State was like a 70-yard touchdown.
That's how you make an impression, Dave.
Yes, sir.
You know what? He should do that this weekend. If I were him, that's what I would do.
I would love to see that.
All right, coming up, what will we learn about the Seahawks quarterbacks this Saturday? We're going to get into that next. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We We'd like to thank Michael Bennett for joining us in the previous segment. That's the best I had heard him. He was concise, to the point, entertaining. It was good. Unfortunately, he's in all seriousness. I'm just messing. He had some flight issues, flight changes or something going on, so unable to join us. Maybe we'll get him at another time. But it will be interesting to hear him again on the sidelines, Mike Robb up in the booth for the preseason games. It'd be interesting to see if I could see Bennett just walking into the team huddle with the mic. What are you guys talking about? What are you guys going to do on this next play? What are you going to? I could see him easily overstepping his bounds.
Yeah, I think it's going to be entertaining either way. But yes, it's is it Kurt Menefee?
I think it's always Kurt. Yeah,
yeah. Kurt does a great job.
Yeah.
He carried me last year in the preseason. He can broadcast with anybody. He really is a nice guy and does a great job. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see him there. And then, you know, we're going to start to see these guys. KJ Wright, maybe, you know, Richard Sherman, start to hear a little bit more for them. I think, you know, look, I always say that I was a much bigger a-hole when I was playing in the NFL than I am now, if you can imagine that.
Man, you must have been insufferable.
Thanks, Bob. No, I mean, you've got an edge about you. You definitely do. And so after a while, it kind of cools down a little bit, and then you don't really have that. Some take longer than others. I think I was 38 when I finally started to calm down a little bit. But, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see those guys because, you know, you find yourself in an adversarial relationship with the media a lot of times. And especially how pervasive it is now. I mean, you know, with all the social media and everything, it's just always in your face as a player. So I think, you know, it was easier to ignore it back in the day when, you know, it was just a newspaper article. Because they would literally cut it out and put it up on the bulletin board, you know, whole bulletin board material. But yeah, that happened while I was playing. But you could easily avoid it. I was talking about the other day, like with Rabel and Pete Gross. Like I was never quite sure what they did. Like they were always around the team.
Oh, as a player, you didn't know.
Yeah, when I was a player, it was like, oh, there's a radio broadcast. What does that mean?
What does that mean? You say things into a microphone.
Yeah, so you're just kind of unaware of that kind of stuff, and you can get away with it. But now these guys really can't. And you know, and when somebody, you know, comes up to you and says, "Hey, man, just so you know, this guy said that about you," you're not being a friend. You're not being a good friend. You're not being a good family member if you point it out to somebody. So, and I've heard that a little bit. So, but I think, you know, Michael is away from that now. And, you know, and look, I can understand him getting upset. I mean, you take criticism, and it's pretty harsh, and it's what you do. And it's like, you know, it's like when a comic gets heckled. You know, it's like, do I come to where you work, and you know, heckle you? Remember when Jerry Seinfeld turned the tables?
Boo!
How are you going to make it in this business? So yeah, it's just
wasn't she committed after that? Didn't he break her?
She ended up losing her pinky toe.
Is that what it was?
In a bus accident.
Who's the one that ended up in the institution and had his taxes? Remember, it was George's girlfriend.
Oh, the neighbor, the guy across the street.
No, it was a girl. It was somebody George was dating, and she had like Jerry's taxes. Was going to do something with his taxes, I think. I can't remember what happened, but somehow she ended up in an institution. He's like, she's got all my documents and all that. I can't remember.
I remember him in an institution holding up his pants because they took his belt away from him. I remember that one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was his girl. Maybe. Oh, that's when he was fixing the car.
Yeah.
Or the dad. Okay, we're getting deep in the weeds here.
Right, it's Seinfeld. That's what we're talking about, by the way.
Yeah, we're digging deep into Seinfeld here. As far as the quarterbacks go this weekend, that'll be interesting as well because we played a cut earlier for those just tuning in from Pete Carroll talking about, you know, the battle between Drew Lock and Geno Smith. And according to Pete, right now, Geno is still in the lead.
Yeah, he's still doing it. You know, Geno had played well, too, and was really solid. He really started well. He had a couple great drives off the bat, took us down the field and all. In the second half, we weren't quite as clean with the stuff we were doing, a little raggedy at the line of scrimmage, and it showed a little bit. But he had a really good start and a good showing for it.
Look, they had to start over at quarterback. I mean, you know, somebody was texting. I don't typically, you know, respond to the texters, but it was like, well, what do you want? I mean, this is who they have. There's nobody else. If there was somebody else available that they thought was better, and if you think that there was somebody in the offseason that they should have brought in or whatever, I'd love to hear the suggestion on what they missed. But right now you're going with a guy who's both are backups. Both are backups. So I think you said the other day Geno Smith was drafted in the second round.
Yeah, they're both second rounders.
Yeah. And, Drew Lock is a high second round. He was like the ninth pick. So, I mean, he was just outside of the first round, but he hasn't shown that just yet. So it's just where they are. This is what we got to work with. I think it, you know, we said this before, it would be really a good look for the team if Drew Lock wins the race, because you got him in the, and you didn't want to trade Russell Wilson away, but that's who we have. And so they got him, and hopefully that will be a guy that they can encourage and, you know, love him up, right? Lefko, and, you know, get him a good offense.
Football word. Right. Lefko.
Football term. Love him
Lefko
up.
Knows about loving him up.
Yep. You know, it's what we do to Mike Lefko every day. Love him up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just encourage him and get him in a right, you know, good position. They got him the center who's going to be able to make the calls. And, you know, so whoever's in there, it's going to take a little bit of the load off of his plate. And you know, and like Moyer was talking about, you know, some of the throws, Russ made a lot of throws outside the numbers. But, you know, this is going to be more of an inside passing game, tight ends, check downs to running backs, things like that. So
you see it being slants. Kind of a 50-50. This game, or how do you, between the two quarterbacks?
Yeah, that would be a tough one, because you want to give one guy a chance to get in a flow, right? Like 3-4 series in a row, and then, you know, but if you go every other series, that might kind of throw it off. I mean, and then, you know, like you said, you talk about you're playing with the first, and you want to be able to do that, be able
to play. How long are you going to, if we're talking about equal reps with the starting receivers as a quarterback, all right, yeah. Geno, you're getting X amount of reps with DK and Tyler, and Drew, you're getting the same number. Well, then how long are DK and Tyler going to be out there? They're not going to be out there that long. No. If at all, are they? I mean, I don't know what the plan is, but it's not like you're going to say, well, we got to get both guys all these reps, so you two are staying out here and risking injury through this entire game.
Yeah, and I'd be surprised if we saw much of those guys anyway. But then also, you know, let's say you put Drew Lock in the second half, he's probably going to be playing against backups.
Yeah.
You know, and so then how do you judge that? So it just, it's tricky. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that. What would you do? I wouldn't do every other series, that's for sure, because I would want my quarterback to get into a flow. So I'd probably start Geno for the first quarter, and then, you know, whatever the rest of the half, go with Locke.
I don't know. That's a great question. I guess it just depends on how much they plan on playing the other starters, the starting O-line that's in front of you, starting receivers, and just to get an equal apples-to-apples comparison of how this guy did with this group, same exact group with this guy, let's compare.
Yeah, didn't Geno last year in the first preseason game get killed? I think there were Stone Forsythe was out there, and they brought a blitz or something like that, and he got hit really hard, so... Mm. Want to minimize that, that's for sure.
All right, coming up, it was a memorable debut for the Lions on Hard Knocks for those of you that watched it. We're going to hear much more about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Plenty of good material from the Lions episode of Hard Knocks, including Aiden Hutchinson, their top draft pick, number 2 overall pick, had to get in front of the room and sing a song, and he sang Billie Jean. The room went so crazy that one player took his shirt off, threw it across the room.
People always told me,
make it stop.
See, he was smart in that he did a song where he got everybody else to sing.
Yeah.
He screwed it up in the beginning. That was the funny part, is he munched the lyrics in the beginning and everybody's kind of booing. Like, he's sitting there with his hands over his face like, oh, man, and went for it again. The interesting part was, and I don't know if they did this when you were playing, Dave, but he had to get up there and say, hey, I'm Aiden Hutchinson. I was drafted number 2 overall, and my signing bonus was, I think he said, what, $22 million or something like that? Mm-hmm. And the whole room was just like, whoa, oh, my goodness, you know, just freaking out over his signing bonus. Mm-hmm. Did you have to, was any of that happening when you were playing?
No, we didn't have to do that. They had done it so badly a couple years before that Chuck Knox got really mad.
Done like, what badly, though?
The hazing.
Oh.
You know, they went in with a fire extinguisher to a couple of the rookies.
Oh, jeez.
You know, and it was really bad. So, and Chuck, I guess, called everybody out at like 3 in the morning. It was when they were staying out in Cheney, and just lit them up. So there was none of that. But, you know, to me, watch that Aiden Hutchinson. It was just cringy to me. Bob, I can't watch another man sing.
By the way, his mom got a lot of FaceTime, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, for good reason. What episode was that from?
That was the...
The Velvet Fog.
Yeah, that's right. Mel Torme.
Jerry says, I can't watch another man sing. She's like, what are you, insane?
Sweeping the dial.
Well, Case Keenum, I can't even say his name correctly. Case Keenum is fairly anonymous. I could not honestly have told you what team he was on. He's on the Bills. He put on a bucket hat at training camp and some sunglasses, tried to walk right up to his teammates and see if they recognized him.
Case Keenum here. I'm going to see today how many autographs I can get from my teammates. Let's go Bills.
Hey, Isaiah, man, can I get your autograph, man? I've been a big fan of yours, man, ever since you was in college, man. Will you do it one more time for me, man? It's kind of hard to read.
Is this Case? I'm about to get you twice.
Hey, Case, can I get your autograph, man? Hey, man, you're my favorite player, man. Who's your favorite backup quarterback? Okay, I'll see you later, man. Good luck out there, man.
I'm about to get kicked out of here. Okay, this 2019 one still works?
No, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get autographs, sir.
All right, then you got to go on the other side of the...
Hey.
I like his accent. Hey, man. Hey, man. He's not the first to do that, though. Who was it? Somebody texted in. This happened before, and it was on film, and I watched it. I swear it might have been on Hard Knocks last year, but yeah, perhaps I saw it on NFL Network.
I think it was Jared Goff, right?
No, yeah. Somebody who was a back, it was like a Chase Daniel or somebody did it before.
Anyway, I thought it was funny. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious because like the one where he's like, who's your favorite backup quarterback? The guy just totally turns away from him and, you know, and he was being obnoxious. So you could, I guess, understand that. But it's pretty funny. The people that like caught on right away that knew, because some didn't, you know, they even looked at him.
And, so,
and you know, there was a couple of guys that just right away knew exactly who he was. Yeah, but it was
I'm counting on the text.
Well, so a few years ago, Jared Goff did do something. That's what I was thinking of. He went to a college football team, and they pretended he was a new transfer. The coach said, "Oh, yeah, he's this high touted transfer."
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. No, this was the exact thing. Okay. It was on because I was watching it. I think he had sunglasses on and a hat and was doing the, hey, I'm a big fan and doing the whole thing. But somebody recognized him. One of the guys he handed the thing to get signed recognized him fairly quickly. It was very funny. That's a great gig.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, Pirates second baseman Rodolfo Castro was just recalled on Tuesday. So in his first game back, he forgot that he had something else on him when he took a head first slide into third.
Castro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now that's a first.
Goodness.
And there's Adam Hammerick. Dude, your phone is down. Hey, right there.
What is he doing with a phone in his uniform? I mean, in his back pocket of his uniform. When he's in the dugout, I mean, those are always tucked away in their lockers, and you're not supposed to have them. You're not supposed to have that technology in the dugout. He's got it in his back pocket. What are you doing, man?
Yeah, the NFL is big on that too. You can't have any cell phones down in that little bench area. You know, if you walk through there. One time I was down there before the game and texting, and you know, people are like, "Hey, you got to put that away." So the way he explained it. he obviously was very humble about it and like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that and I screwed up. But I thought the funniest part was when he hands it to the third base coach.
Who's looking at him like,
third
you
base,
don't.
Yeah, you. Numb nuts.
Yeah, he really had no recourse. You couldn't get defiant there, right? You're saying he was humble or anything. What else could he do? I don't know what the big deal is. It's just phone. I didn't wasn't calling anybody.
Handled it the right way, that's for sure.
I love the still shots of it as he's diving in. You see it sliding out of his back pocket there. Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Coming up, we go to this guy when we need the in-depth baseball insight that only the very specific stats can provide. Luke Arkins will join us next here with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.